Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
On today's Covenant Journey Bible Podcast, we're going to be picking up from the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches of Revelation. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. We've begun our study of the book of Revelation in our first overview. We went from cover to cover and looked at the theme, the up and down theme between heaven and earth. The vision in heaven, the vision in earth. When things get bad on earth, there's always that pause where we are now taken back to heaven. All is in control. We come back to earth, and there's that up and back motif, which is really something you never want to lose sight of when you're studying the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 begins with that picture in heaven, and it is a revelation of Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, and it's about what he has done, and our future destiny wrapped up in what he has done. It's about what's coming, and it's about following our Lord Jesus Christ. It's actually a letter that the Apostle John, writing on the Isle of Patmos when he's imprisoned for his faith and testimony in Jesus Christ, that is originally written to seven real churches in Asia. And in these different statements, this was a circular letter, and it was written, and then it went from one church to the next, to the next, to the next. So all the different churches read or heard, those that were hearing and those that were reading, the entire book of Revelation, and they heard about their admonitions to them and some of the complaints to those churches, as well as to the others. And so there's a couple of applications. We won't go into the details, but obviously it's written to the seven churches, real churches, at the time of the Apostle John. There is meaning for those seven churches. There is meaning for those Christians, but there's also the ultimate meaning and fulfillment, and that brings us all the way to chapters 21 and 22, and that is the new heaven and the new earth. It begins with Jesus in chapter 1. Chapter 22 ends with Jesus, and Jesus is all in between. So verses 1 and following of chapter 2 begin the specific seven churches, and we don't have time to go through every detail of them, but it begins in chapter 2, verse 1, to the church in Ephesus. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands says these things: I know your works and your toil and perseverance, and that you don't tolerate evil men, and have tested those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and they are found to be false. It talks about some of the good things of the church, the perseverance, but in verse 4, it talks about some of the things against the church. Verse 5, remember from where you have fallen. Remember your first love. Repent and do the works that you did at first. Now, it also is not only an application to what happens in churches, but it's also something that you ought to apply to your own personal lives. This church of Ephesus, in fact, I've been there. It's an amazing place where the Apostle Paul went and ministered, and others went. And it's an amazing ruins that you can visit today. I've had the privilege of actually walking through the city of Ephesus, an amazing theater that's there. And this particular church started off well. It was a church that was on fire for the Lord, but eventually lost the first love, and it grew weary and cold. And it became routine. The admonition is to remember where you have fallen from and repent and do the works that you did at the first. And what a lesson we can use to apply that to our own churches, where there might be some good start, but not so good continuation. And even in our own lives, where you have that passion or had it, and now you don't have that, it is time for you to go back to that first love. Go back to that time where you were on fire and passionately in love with the Lord. Press into him through prayer, through reading of the scriptures, having people to pray for you, fellowship with you as well. verse 8, the church of Smyrna. The church of Smyrna, he says, the first and the last who was dead and who has come to life says these things. It always begins with a description of Jesus. I know your works, oppression, and your poverty, but you are rich. It goes on to say, don't be afraid in verse 10 of the things which you are about to suffer. This church is about to suffer. The devil is going to throw some of you in prison. Be faithful. There's no admonition that's contrary to this church. This church is faithful, so faithful that some were going to be in prison. The next one is the church of Pergamum, verse 12. Again, starts off with a description of the Lord from chapter 1. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold firmly to my name and didn't deny my faith in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But there's a few things that the Lord Jesus has against you, because there are some of you who have mixed Christianity, Christian teachings with other paganistic cultures. That's what he says there. Some of you are committing sexual immorality, and some of you hold to other false teachings. You need to repent. And then he goes to verse 18, Thyatira. Again, a description of Jesus from chapter 1. I know your works in verse 19, and your love and your faith, your service, your patient endurance, and that your last works are actually more than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate your woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, so she has a false prophet kind of teaching. She teaches and seduces my servants to commit sexual immorality. Some of that was happening because there was some false teaching that once you're saved, what you do with your body doesn't really matter, doesn't matter at all, and so you can engage in sexual immorality. Remember, for example, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the young man who was having sexual relations with his father's wife, his stepmother, and everybody was all excited about it and saying, look, this shows how free they are. And Paul said, no, you got to discipline them. And in 2 Corinthians, they'd already disciplined him and he repented. And he says, now bring him back into the fold. Don't keep him away once he's repented. Some of those false teachings are happening. Some of those false teachings, my friend, happen today. That you can be sexually immoral and it doesn't matter. God is asking for you to be pure so he can be in close relationship with you. Thyatira, verse 24, speaking of the fact that this particular church, you say that indeed you don't know what some may call the deep things of Satan. There are some people who don't have that teaching, some people who are being true. He says, I'm not going to put any more burden on you. You seem to be doing the right thing. Nevertheless, hold that which you have firmly until I come. So there are some churches where there's no negative, and there's some churches where there are. Now when you go to Sardis in chapter 3, verse 1, again, starts with pointing to Jesus, which is what the book of Revelation is about. And it says, I know your works and that you have a reputation of being alive. That's what people think about you. But you're spiritually dead. Wow. A church looks like it's doing something good, but it's all external. There is no real spiritual life. Sometimes we can fall into that as individuals, knowing that we're dead inside, but putting on a front on the outside. Well, what does Jesus say to that church or churches throughout history and to you as an individual? Verse 2, chapter 3. Wake up and keep the things that remain which you were about to throw away. They're about to literally jettison their faith. Wake up. Keep those things that remain. For I have found no works of yours perfected before my God. Oh my goodness, to hear that when it's exposed to the other churches. What if that was exposed to you? What if the Lord expose that to you? What if he exposed that? What if your letter was read to the church, to other friends and people, with what's really going on in your own life? That you look good on the outside, but you're spiritually dead. You don't ever want to be in that situation, of course, and that's why Jesus is giving these warnings. He's wanting to prepare you for things to come. Verse 7, chapter 3, is the church of Philadelphia. I know your works in verse 8. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one can shut, that you have a little power, and you have kept my word, and you did not deny my name. But behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of those who say they are Jews and those who are not, but lie. These are people who are trying to infiltrate them. They're trying to say they're one thing, but they're really not. But it says, because you have kept my command to endure, I will keep you from the hour of testing. He's going to protect them. I'm coming quickly. Hold firmly to that which you have, so that no one takes it. No one removes your crown. And then moving on to the final church. This is the church of Laodicea, verse 14. To the angel of the assembly, or the church of Laodicea, the Amen and the faithful, the true witness, and the head of God's creation, says these things. Again, pulling from chapter 1, the vision of Jesus. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and I have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will give to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Wow, Laodicea, the seventh church. Laodicea is a church that's not hot for the Lord. It's not on fire for the Lord. It's not completely cold. It's going through the motions. It's kind of half and half. You know, when you want to drink a hot cup of coffee, you don't want cold coffee. When it gets cold, it just doesn't taste when you're preparing to have a hot cup of coffee in the morning, for example. When you want a refreshing cold glass of water, you don't want to pick it up and have it lukewarm. What will happen if you have that in your mouth and you're expecting a cold, clear glass of water because you're thirsty and it's lukewarm? Not just room temperature, but lukewarm. A little bit warm, but not hot. But more than cold and more than just regular room temperature. It's a little lukewarm. Put it in the microwave for just a little while and it's got a little bit of warmness to it. Now you're thirsty and you need water and you put that in your mouth. What are you going to do? Jesus says he's going to vomit it out of his mouth. There are so many churches that are lukewarm. There are so many individual people that are lukewarm. And Jesus says, you say, I'm rich. Maybe you've done well for yourselves. Maybe you're able to put groceries on the table. I don't have any need of anything. But you don't know that you are wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You go through the motions, you may think you're religious. Oh, you're not like these other people. But Jesus says you're completely unclothed. And he's counseling us because he loves us in verse 19. He loves us and therefore he is reproving us, convicting us, chastening us. And he asks us to be zealous and repent and to hold fast, but reassuring us that he is at the door, he's knocking, and all we have to do is open it up. Hear his voice, open the door. He's going to come in. What is he going to do? He's going to sit down and dine with you. When you look at Jesus in the New Testament, why is he called a drunkard by the Pharisees, or a wine bibber, as you would say, and a glutton? Because he liked to fellowship with people, because it was close, intimate fellowship where he could be one-on-one with a group of small number of people, fellowshipping, enjoying a meal. Jesus says that's what he wants to do with you. This is in preparation, my friend, as an individual, as well as a church, as a body of believers, for what's coming. This is the word from Jesus himself. Each one of these churches have different characteristics you see in churches today that you see in individuals today. Read chapters 2 and 3, because it is a letter from Jesus to you, to your church, to all believers around the world, to wake up, to remember that he's always there knocking. He doesn't want lukewarm Christianity. He wants us to be on fire and in love with him passionately. And he also guarantees us this promise, the one who overcomes, one who sticks with me, you're going to be with me forever. And that's the rest of the story that begins after this as we move through the book of Revelation. But before we get into that, we go back to a picture of Jesus. This is the earthly view. We're getting ready to go to a heavenly view in chapters 4 and 5, and that's what we're going to be discussing on the next Covenant Journey Bible podcast, The Revelation of Our Lord Jesus Christ. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org. That's covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.